Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, make the most of your internship. You know, at Career Tools, we highly recommend internships for college students. In this cast, we're going to tell you why and how to make the most of the experience.
And a special note for those of you who are listening in the early part or in some part of 2010 when we recorded this cast. If you're in the U.S., there is a move afoot in the labor industry in general to curtail significantly the amount of college internships that are granted by major corporations under the guise of it being free labor and therefore violating labor laws. Virtually every major company and every major college who partner on internships disagrees with it, and yet the government seems to be having some traction in stopping internships. And in fact, in several cases, major corporations have said, we will not recruit on campus because we offer internships, and there is a unfortunate connection between government, education, and corporations in such a way that the educational institutions are somewhat hamstrung by this. We suspect that this will change. These kinds of pushes against internships happen periodically, but nevertheless, in 2010, perhaps even into 2011, you'll see some reduction of the use of internships. Don't believe us alone. If you're in school, please check, but don't be surprised if internships are less than what they used to be.
You know, some college courses require students to take an internship, and other courses allow short or long periods in industry during the course of study, but don't require it. We'll explain shortly why we really recommend that if you have the opportunity to take an internship, you take it. More importantly, we're going to explain how to make the most of it.
Yeah, internships basically can feel like an extra course that you have to get through in college.
And harder.
Yeah. It's only later that you realize, and people with more experience tell you, that you had the opportunity at the time to ask all the basic questions, learn some basic workplace skills, and not workplace skills for minimum wage jobs, but workplace skills for professionals. You get a chance to make an impression. You learn what works and what doesn't work in terms of making an impression. And all this happens in an environment where very little is expected of you because of the nature of internships.
Yeah.
So it's almost, not quite, but it's a bit like risk-free education.
Yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't happen very often, right?
So if ever again. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. So take advantage of it if you can.
Right. So we've got 6 points we want to make today. First of all, we want to be clear that it is our guidance, Career Tools Internship Guidance, is that internships are a highly recommended skill builder. We're going to talk about the three most important skills you're going to learn, at least one of which no one will like, but nevertheless is true. We're going to talk about choosing your attitude, about how important it is when you're learning about working in a large organization, how important your attitude is and how your attitude is your choice, and there are better attitudes than others. Point number three, we're going to recommend you ask lots of questions, lots and lots and lots of questions. Number four, we're going to encourage you to take the initiative. But an important note, we suggest you ask lots of questions before you take initiative, and there's a reason for that. Number five, of course, we're going to tell you to start building your network. Gosh, it makes all the sense in the world, particularly if you're in the industry or in the company itself that you're going to end up going to work for. And lastly, number six, we definitely want to teach you some simple things you can do to follow up after the fact to keep your network growing and to keep your learning ongoing.
Okay, now we're going to sound like a broken record here because our first point, I think we've made pretty clear, which is Career Tools, we highly recommend internships if you have to have the opportunity. But we got to make sure you get this because, you know, I've seen folks and friends of my son, for example, have had opportunities for internships. And they realize, you know, they think, oh, I got to do work. It's not as much fun. People tell me I'm not going to have as much free time as I might expect to have.
Yeah.
And they think that's
going
away.
You're an adult.
And they pass it away. They pass it. They pass it up. They pass the opportunity up. And, man, if you're listening to this cast, you don't want to be one of those folks.
Yeah. Look, we highly recommend internships. In fact, we often say that the first two rules of college, of university experience, are good grades and have fun. We'd like to add recommendation 3 and 4 to that list. And we don't have 50 recommendations. We probably would have no more than 10 because we can't even keep 10 in our head. So we suspect young people probably can't keep more than 5 in their head. So here are our first 4. Study hard. In other words, get good grades. Have fun. Start building your network. And please don't tell us that's hard because now you have Facebook and we didn't. And then lastly, get an internship. It literally is that important. We're not going to ask you about your internship when we interview you for a mid or a large size organization or a well-known organization that you're hoping to get hired by to learn a lot about the kind of professional skills you'll need later in your career. We won't ask you about your network. We will ask you about whether or not you have an internship and why you don't if, in fact, they're offered.
Yeah, there are so many opportunities that you have now or may have right now that you're just not going to find very often in the future, you know, opportunities for to spend a semester abroad studying. I mean, what a great opportunity that is, or to take part in some special event, or to work on an extra project. Those are rare opportunities, and they're going to be even rarer in the future. And internship is one of those. Take advantage of what you have the opportunity.
Internships teach you skills which are going to be valuable now and in the future, okay? They're going to teach you things that you're going to be able to apply in college, at university, and later when you start your real work life. And it always kind of makes us chuckle when we hear some young person say, I've been in school forever, I've got to get to work. And we say, sure, you've been in school for what? You'll end up being in school for 16 years and then you're going to work for 50. Don't be so interested in getting out of school real fast. That said, if you're going on to the world of professional work, there's no sense not taking advantage of an opportunity to learn, as we alluded to earlier, in somewhat of a risk-free environment.
And didn't you love seeing an internship on somebody's resume when they came to your door looking for a job?
Yeah, that's why it's point number 4, right? Yeah. Did you have an internship? And if we know if your university or your fraternity, your sorority, your Greek system provides the opportunity for internships, even if it's not necessarily in your field of choice, boy, and you don't take advantage of it, we raise an eyebrow and say, okay, why weren't they taking advantage of something that's going to be so full of learning?
Yeah, I'm going off the show notes right now, but one thing I loved about the folks that came, the candidates that came that had an internship, is it then gave me an opportunity to have a discussion with them about work, about real work. How did they behave in the workforce? What were the lessons they learned? What were their work habits?
Somebody else, they learned, they made a bunch of mistakes. They made all the rookie mistakes or a lot of the rookie mistakes. Well, somebody else was paying them. Why wouldn't I want that?
Right.
Two people with a 3.4 GPA in mechanical engineering, one with an internship, one without. The one without the internship is going to make his or her first mistakes with me while I'm paying them.
Right.
Why not get the guy who's already made those mistakes for somebody else?
Absolutely. Versus talking about, well, if I were an engineer, this is what I would have done. So, mm-hmm. No, I was an intern, and this is what I did. And that's a very, very different interview.
An internship at which you apply yourself, which is what we're going to recommend and tell you how to do here in a minute, gives you 1 to 6 months head start on the learning curve in your professional life. 1 to 6 months. And companies, that's the way companies think about it, okay? And frankly, if you work for a competitor and that happens, you're going to have an even more valuable experience of how it's being done over there. You're going to be able to supply a work-related reference with your application rather than just a professor or someone who worked at the student union along with you and can say, oh, sure, he was my peer and he was a really great guy. So we have some specific skill building things that we believe internships are particularly good at, and we want to make sure you understand why internships are so important and why we recommend them so strongly, okay? The first one is time management, right? And every college student, every kid at university we talk to about this says the same thing. Oh, I already know how to manage my time. And they say, you know, I've got a heavy course load. You got to plan your work. When are you going to study? When are you going to eat? You know, how many courses, a bunch of courses now have group work, which we generally agree with, and their presentations and lab time. And frankly, it probably feels to you like you're juggling a lot. And the fact is, compared to the workplace, you're not juggling a lot. And one way we can tell you're not juggling a lot is the amount of free time that college students have. If you have a lot of free time, you're not juggling a lot because you're given lots of essentially empty space white space in which you can fill up. You can be sloppy in your time management, and the lack of rigidity in your calendar gives you the chance to feel like you're doing a lot when in fact you don't have the strictures that make you learn how to manage your time really, really efficiently. When you're going to get to your internship, you realize there aren't any study periods which you can use to catch up. You can't go do your grocery shopping or laundry whenever you know you've got an extra 30 minutes because now you're at work. And so now certain things only can happen after work as opposed to in between other things you're doing while you're at work, which is what one kid told me once. He says, well, I consider college to be my job. Okay, and I respected that. But then he told me why he wanted a job which had a lot of free time during the day so he could have a change of scenery because he worked better with a lot of different things going on around him.
Okay.
Didn't really excite me, and I didn't of course, recommend he get hired. Look, there are no excuses for being late to work. When you're in the workplace, there's on time or there's late. Okay. If you come into class 5 minutes late, your professor probably doesn't care. Whenever I think of college nowadays and classwork, I'm reminded of a movie that probably came out 20, 30, 40 years ago that showed the first day of class with a professor teaching to a room full of students. 3 or 4 weeks in, the professor teaching to a bunch of students in some tape recorders. Halfway through, the professor talking to 3 or 4 students and a bunch of tape recorders. 3/4 of the way through, the professor talking to a bunch of tape recorders. And at the end of the year, one person walked in and started a tape recorder in the front that had the lecture on it, and it was being listened to only by tape recorders. And so you can be late, and there's maybe no penalty. If you're late at work, it doesn't matter because whether it's the bus that didn't come or the trains were delayed or the traffic was heavy. It doesn't matter. You didn't leave the house early enough to account for all those eventualities. It's your fault. You were late. You need to take responsibility for it. Your manager is not going to be as forgiving as your professors are. Even managers who tell you, I don't really care about timeliness, will note that you're late.
Yeah, it's okay means I saw you. You were late. And I've noted it.
Yeah, and more, I've noted it, and you better do something to make up for it.
Yeah.
And I had another person tell me once, well, that sounds kind of Machiavellian. I said, it's not Machiavellian, it's professional. Professionals do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it, whether they want to or not, without much debate.
Yeah. And if you want to have a great career, you want to be an executive someday, that's a lesson you need to learn right now.
Yeah, if you miss a day of work, it's not like missing a day of college. And missing work and missing college goes to the issue of time management. You can't borrow study notes. The goals and tactics involved in an individual role don't have textbooks you can use to catch yourself up on. Your boss isn't willing, the way your professors might have been, to give you tutoring because you had an upset stomach or some other illness. Missing a day of work usually means you have to do twice as much the next day. That's just part of your contract, your ethical contract with your workplace. Again, learning these lessons about time management is going to help you with the real work world.
Good. How about discipline? I mean, that's a critical skill in the workplace, and I imagine that's another thing that an internship is a great vehicle for learning.
Yeah, and this is the one, and discipline is the one that everybody thinks they're not going to like and agree with, but that's not. That comes up last, right? Yeah, sure. It takes discipline to get up every day and time to be at work. And, I've had people in college and at university say, oh, I have to get up. And then I discover the first class is at 10 o'clock, and it's only on Tuesdays. Monday, the first class is at noon, and on Tuesdays, their first class is at 10 o'clock. So I have to be up and I have to be ready to go at 10 o'clock. And then I discover they're wearing sweatpants to class at 10 o'clock in the morning. So they only have to get up at 9:50. Wow. In fact, if you get up at 9:50 and you're in California, in 2 hours and 50 minutes, the market closes in New York, right? I mean, it's not an adult frame of mind. You know, you have to get up, you have to be professional, you have to be ready to work. And if you're tired or you're ill or you're hungover, or your feet hurt from playing volleyball all weekend, it doesn't matter. You go to work. You may think that the work is going to be easy, but frankly, with the change you're going to go through in professional life, from college to professional life, by the end of the first day, you're going to be exhausted. And you're going to be learning a lot. And there's going to be stress associated with not knowing things. And that's going to tire you out. You have to be willing to fight through the struggle that is the first week, month, quarter, and half year on the job. It's hard sometimes for younger people. We've discovered watching the time clock, it's hard for people to be on time. And there's a discipline that comes from recognizing there's consequences associated with lateness or lack of discipline in various parts of your job. And look, Dressing is another part where you need discipline, right? Again, you can't wear sweatpants to work, usually, in most jobs. Probably people who are listening to us, you're not going to get to wear sweatpants to work, and you don't get to wear flip-flops either. That's part of professional discipline, meeting a certain standard, not just in terms of comportment or in terms of workload or in terms of quality or quantity, but also in terms of your attire and your interpersonal professionalism and so on.
You know, we started this podcast by recommending folks very highly that they take these internships, and then we proceeded to make it sound like it's not a whole lot fun. And here we go, and we got even one more thing they got to learn.
Yeah.
And this is the one that people are just really, really going to love, and that is obedience.
Yeah. This is the skill that is really known as the things you don't want to do. I've said it many, many times. If you want to be a manager, if you want to be a professional at a high level, if you want to be an executive, you're not going to get paid to do what you like. You're going to get paid to do what you're getting paid to do. You're getting paid to serve the organization. And that sounds overly dark, but I don't mean it that way. You work for the company. You're getting paid to do your job, not to do the parts of your job you like. Part of obedience is choosing to do things that you would not normally choose to do, even though you don't, at first blush, like them. It's, again, professionalism, doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, whether you want to or not. Okay? There's a freedom to the choices you have in college that don't exist in the workplace. If you want complete freedom, you don't want to be a professional, because professionals give up their choice of doing anything they want any given day to serving others and being part of a large organization, which magnifies their labor in a way, thanks to the specialization of other people's labor, so that the 100 people that are involved in a small or mid-sized company can actually produce what 200 to 300 people could do individually because of the synergies that exist within the organization. And look, we talk all the time about the inevitable tension in organizations, and it's true. If you work with people, they're going to be conflicts. You know, I've said before, my dad says the definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county. You put 100 people in the same building, you're going to have conflict. That doesn't mean that we're saying work is so conflict-filled you shouldn't want to embrace it. What we are saying is you have to be willing to be obedient to a greater power, a greater good, a greater system. And we're not talking a faceless system here, but you have to be willing to be obedient to something larger than yourself in order to achieve, to get the benefits of specialization of labor that allows you to produce more than 100 people could do on their own. Look, if your manager asks you to do 8 hours of data entry or clean the conference room or sort hundreds of folders alphabetically or, you know, figure out the library's sorting system or photocopy thousands of documents, you have to be willing to say, yeah, I'll do it. Okay? That's not what you chose to study in college, surely, unless you maybe you're a librarian. And we love librarians, by the way. But you got to choose college based on courses that were interesting to you, particularly in the later years in college before you graduated. But those are the things we just mentioned are all things that somebody has to do. And if you're like the MBA who says to the person who says, we've got to get a lot of boxes packed up, and he says, well, I'm an MBA, I don't know if you know it, that's kind of beneath me, then you're saying, I really don't want to be a professional. And a lot of times people say, I want to go to work at a small company. Well, if you're at a small company, be prepared to move around tables in a conference room at 12 o'clock at night because the room's not ready for the next morning, whether you're a VP or an intern.
Yeah, and not just doing the job and grumbling while you're doing it, but learning how to do it quickly, efficiently, and with some good grace while you're going about it.
Yes. Look, there are times that you're going to be asked to do jobs that are pointless, to do something that seems backwards to you. And look, in our experience, there's sometimes a good reason somewhere else in the organization, and sometimes it really is just a stupid job. Telling your manager it's stupid is not a good idea, and learning some obedience around that is a good idea. Now, folks, don't get us wrong. We know some of you are listening going, I can't do that. And yet, if you read anything about philosophy, anything about life skills, anything about success, it is all about willingness to subserviate yourself to a larger good, an organization, a cause, or what have you. No one who has achieved at a high level says, I did it all for myself, and I only did what made sense to me, and I was only out to serve myself. Obedience is saying, I'm willing to serve somebody else. The sooner we learn that skill, the sooner we learn the humility of helping other people, even through what appears to be a menial task, because the bathrooms do need to be cleaned, the sooner we learn that, the sooner we learn the value of serving other people. And when we serve other people, we make other people more efficient and effective. And if you can spend your life making 10 more people than you efficient and effective, you can have a greater impact on the world than if you worry only about you and what you want and what you need and what you like. So you're going to be asked to do things you don't want to do. You may think they're stupid. Don't tell your boss it's stupid. If you've got to do it now in your internship. Make some mistakes. Get forgiven now. Okay.
You may be forgiven. Maybe.
Yeah.
A better chance now than later, though.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good. Look, internships are like a practice ground. Your mistakes are forgiven more easily, although they're not always forgiven. If you're asked to do something 5 times in a row you do it poorly, and you're given feedback on the previous 4 about how to do it better, and you don't use that feedback, you probably won't be forgiven because we expect you to learn faster than that. But learning how to build appropriate work relationships is an excellent thing to do when you're an intern. Since if you're slightly awkward in asking somebody for something or you make a social gaffe, people will brush it off if you're in an internship. And look, if you have the relationship and then when you get back to college, you stay in touch with those people, you can use LinkedIn, you can use Control-Shift-K the way we recommend, you'll be able to take advantage of those relationships in your network when you're looking for that first job after college.
And Control-Shift-K, by the way, if you don't use Outlook, and I suspect some of our young college students may not actually use Outlook. That's just a way of creating tasks within Outlook to remind yourself of some event in the future.
We actually had somebody once say, I didn't know what Control-Shift-K was, so I was in Windows, and I tried Control-Shift-K, and nothing happened. Later in the day, I was in Outlook. I hit Control-Shift-K, and up popped a task dialog box, and I thought, that's what they meant. And then I asked him, hey, did you do Control-G? He says, what's that? That's for a repetitive task. He says, I'll have to go try it.
Any other skills that folks should pay attention to during
it? It's not really a skill. But look, you get to contribute, right? Whether your role sounds important or not, and don't worry about trying to impress anybody in college. Nobody's that smart in college to know which internships are better. And anybody who says working for Nike is better than working for Applied Materials, because everybody knows Nike and nobody knows Applied Materials, just because Nike sells to consumers and Applied Materials doesn't. Most people don't know what they're talking about in college. And to be fair, we're not picking on you now. Mike and I didn't either, okay? But you get to contribute, okay? Whether you're doing something menial behind the scenes or you're actually part of something and you get your face in the paper, you are being part of that team. You're helping somebody else by contributing to a greater good that's happening because you're all involved. And if nothing else, you get accomplishment bullets to put on your resume. And quite frankly, most young people coming out of college don't have that many accomplishment bullets for their resume. And there's nothing wrong with accomplishment bullets.